Hello, hello. Can you hear my voice now? All right. I can hear myself, so that's fine. My sheep will hear my voice and they follow me. And I was sharing that a lot of people have missed this and they have actually lost hearing from God. They missed the opportunity from hearing from God because God wants you to hear from Him. Say, my sheep will hear my voice. So if he's struggling, we don't hear his voice, then something is missing. You know what I'm saying? And I can teach you how I hear from God. But it may not solve your problem because you're not me. But when God teaches you how to hear his voice, then the problem is solved. Because he's the only one that can teach you how to hear his voice. See, let me give an example. My worship leader has written a song. The song is over there. He can only put the notes that you can play for that song. Or you can hear it and play how the song works. But you can't do the song the way he would do it. Because he's the original of the song. Right? But if he comes here and teaches you the song, it could be better. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is that nobody taught you. How many people are born again Christian? You're born again. You know you're saved without a shadow of a doubt. You go to heaven. How did you hear his voice to become a born again Christian? Who taught you his voice to become a born again Christian? Who taught you? God taught you, right? He spoke to you for you to come forward and give your life to Jesus, isn't it? It's not the preacher. The preacher just spoke the word. And the preacher spoke, and God used the word. Who is the word? Jesus is the word. So the preacher spoke the word, and the word went to your heart, and God convicted you. God spoke to your heart. Who made your heart? He spoke to your heart, and your heart heard him saying, come to me. That's how you gave your life to Jesus. You didn't give your life to Jesus because the preacher preached. You didn't give your life to Jesus because, Billy Graham spoke. No, you gave your life because Jesus is the one who drew you to what? To himself. I'm trying to change the concept. I'm trying to change your mind and trying to speak to your mind so that you know that anybody who tells you you don't hear from God, they're wrong. I'm going to diffuse the notion that I cannot hear from God. I say that you can hear from God. If you say you're not hearing from God, something is not adding up. Because if you didn't hear from God, how did you become a born-again Christian? Right? You must hear his voice say, come to me. Come. Come. He said, okay, God, Jesus, I am a sinner. I'm wrong. Forgive my sins. And then you spoke those words and he came to your heart and you are saved. That's how you became a born-again Christian. So if you say you don't hear from God, that's not the truth. The truth is you do hear from God. But the problem is a lot of us, because we bought the lie that we can't hear him. And first of all, he's the one who spoke to you about himself. He's the one who introduced you to himself. Did the message tape this morning? And this afternoon, was it tape? Anybody who can't forget the message. So I'll move on from there, okay? Because I want to speak another one today, tonight. This is Rauf. Rauf came from, come here and say something to them. Come here and say something. He's my buddy here.
Hi. My heart be a top my heart.
It's coming.
Thank you. My heart is to show you Zach's heart. No, it's not. No, really, it's not. It's to show you God's heart. So many times, Pastor Zach has preached a message. And, you know, went in this ear and out the other. But boy, there are some times that when God speaks through Pastor Zach, you can do nothing but weep, because it's like God is speaking to you personally. That's kind of what happened this morning. My heart is to show you Jesus. And I think that's your pastor's heart as well, is to show you God's love. And then to carry it with you wherever you go. It is an honor, because I have never done this before, speaking to a congregation that's, you know, not Jubilee. It is an honor to be here and to have spoken into people's lives this afternoon. It is humbling when you can do that and, you know, God gets it right. If I can put it that way, because, you know, God always gets it right. But I'm always afraid, from my own perspective, that it was me speaking, you know, and not God doing it. Because there's some of that in all of us. We are kind of afraid to open our mouth just in case we get it wrong. Sometimes boldness is good, but sometimes, oh my, it's difficult. But we can know that where we go, God walks with us. And it's a privilege. It really is a privilege to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
God is good. Rauf has been with our church for a while now. Rauf came to be part of our church in Allison. That's the third church God planted. And he speaks in Allison, he speaks in Aurelia sometimes. And he hasn't spoken in Barry yet, right? Not yet. Yeah, but so we have four churches. Let me just say this before I move on. This is my worship leader's CD. It's a beautiful CD. He's written a song. He's written, he and his wife, Jerry, Michael and Jerry, they've written good songs. And so there's a CD back there. It's £10. It would be a blessing for you to sow into his ministry. And this is a message that transformed my life personally. Forgive the unforgivable. There are some people in your life that it's hard to forgive. I came from a Muslim background. I didn't want to forgive my family. I tried hard. I tried everything. Even if I say it, it didn't work. Till God gave me a way of forgiving my family. So forgive the unforgivable. If you're struggling with people to forgive people in your life, this is a CD for you. I know it to change your life. And this one is Heart of Stone on Finances. It's a message that changed my life as well, because if you're struggling with finances, if you're struggling to put budget together, if you're struggling
not ants don't meet. This is a CD you should buy. They're all £10. If at the back there, that would be great. If you can get that, and I know you'll be blessed. I know definitely you'll be blessed. But tonight, this is what I want. My wife said I should say greetings. She just texted me now to say, you better tell them that I said hi. So I'm saying hi before I get myself into trouble at home. Everybody can hear me now. So when I said hi, she said, are you sure? People here, people have heard me, and I don't want to be in trouble. So I've said hi, so everybody says hi. Good. Today, there are two things I wanted. I've been thinking of the Lord, which one do I do? Because I spoke out, my sheep will hear my voice and they follow me. I wanted to speak on, maybe tomorrow morning I'll speak on that. I wanted to speak on be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What does that mean by be transformed by the renewal of your mind? But I remember saying today that I'm going to speak on, I said before you, life and death. Choose life. How many people remember that? So I could have changed the topic. Oh, yeah, nobody would know. No, just kidding. So I'm going to speak on, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 to 20, it said, I said before you life and what? Death. But choose what? Choose life. This is God himself speaking to you. He said, I have set before you life and death. And listen, he is telling you, he's not truly telling you to choose death. He's telling you to choose what? Life. So he said, look, this is life. This is death. And I set both of them before you. He didn't say, well, choose which one is right, which one is wrong. No, no, no. He said, look, I set before you life and death. He said, choose what? Life. He is giving you a commandment to choose life. The question is, why have you been choosing death? Why do we choose death? Because when you wake up in the morning and you start speaking negative, you're speaking death to yourself. When you start thinking, my pastor calls it thinking. When you have this thinking, what are you doing to yourself? You're speaking death. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the what? Of the tongue. When we start speaking death, actually, we are telling our God what is made is not good enough. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's why it is important to be transformed. I'll get back to that tomorrow sometime. But the Bible says, I said before you life and death. At the beginning, he made the earth. He made sea and the earth. He made the whole world. And he said before Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, I have given you everything pertaining to life. But there's one thing, when you choose, you die. And guess what did they choose? They chose death. That's why at the beginning, before we became born again Christian, we are in a predicament. We choose death. And I grew up in a family where they speak all negative. They curse. I came from a wealthy family. And money is what they can get to you. Because you need money. And so what did they do? My dad said, you never amount to anything. This is my own dad. You're not good enough. You're not short enough. You don't have enough hair. So they spoke bad into my life. And my self-esteem just was so bad. I mean, there's no way I'm going to be speaking in front of you unless God is. It was so bad. And God gave me this strategy, and this changed my life. One day, I said to the Lord, how can I change the way I think? So he gave me this strategy. Anytime I wake up in the morning, Thank you for putting a mirror in my room. Because otherwise, I've gone to the washroom to go and do it. Every morning I wake up, for the last, since 1997, January 3rd, 1997, and I wake up in the morning, I speak to myself in a mirror. I say, Zach, you're good, you are handsome. And I pat my head, I pat myself in the head. And I give myself a kiss. Mwah! Because so every single time I wake up in the morning, I give myself a kiss in the mirror and I speak to myself, Zach, you are handsome, you're going to have a good day, you're not going to have a bad day, it's going to be an amazing day. And I prophesy over what? Over myself. Every single morning. And as I continue to do that every day, guess what? I begin to believe it. I begin to believe the words that I speak to myself. You know, before when I go to a place, there's some people, people still do that. Oh, you look ugly. I'm telling people still do that. Oh, this is your clothes. You didn't look, you better wear a better clothes. I used to get that all the time. You're not smart enough. Even my professor tells me he doesn't know why I'm in school. Because I'm not going to go that far. This is my professor who I paid money to help me to finish school so that I can what? I can get a good job. He's telling me I won't get that far. And I paid him the money and he's using my money. He's spending my money. I paid for his school fee. Because it's my school fees that paying what? They used to pay him. But he said I will never get anywhere. But the moment I started speaking good to myself, I started to believe it. And as I started to believe it, people around me begin to respect me. I begin to value who I am. I begin to trust who God has made. And that has changed me. And the Bible says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. So I decided every morning when I wake up, I'm going to choose life. I am going to choose life no matter what I feel. You know, he didn't say, when you feel good, then choose life. He didn't say, today you have a bad hair day, which I don't. That's why I have a good day every day. Because I don't have any bad hair day. Why did they give it bad hair day? What does that mean? Where did they get that name from? I wonder. Can you tell me? Can somebody tell me where they got that bad hair day?
Can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Can't do anything with it.
Sometimes it sticks up, Zach. It won't go down. Just shake it off.
God didn't give you grease to put in your hair or shampoo. He didn't do that. He brought you straight coming out. Some people have curly ones when they come out. Let me move on because I don't have it. So I can't speak into that. I don't have the curly hair. That's why I'm special. That's why I'm his favorite. My church people knows I'm God's favorite. He may love you, but I'm his favorite. Sister, we have a problem here. I'm his favorite. Yes, you are his favorite. But he didn't say, you know what, God has answered the question for us. He said, I set before you life and death. He said, choose life. Do you want me to read that for you? It's there. He said, choose life. I've set before you destruction and joy. He said, choose joy. I've set before you blessings upon blessing. He said, I set before you curses and blessing. But you, he is telling us, he is commanding you. He's what? Commanding you to choose what? Life. The question is, are you really choosing life? Are you choosing life? Are you walking life? Are you enjoying life? Or are you choosing to walk in death? When you start speaking negative to yourself, He's speaking death. When you start thinking bad about yourself, you're speaking death. So can you look, just use your imagination for a few minutes. Is that okay? Use your imagination. Can you imagine every day you get up from today on to the rest of your life, you speak life to yourself? Can you imagine how life is going to look like? Because once you start speaking life to yourself, let me tell you, in order for people around you to see who you are and help you to, you know what? It's because the way you see yourself is how other people see you. If you see yourself not good enough, people start picking it up. They say, there's something wrong with her. There's something wrong with him. But when you start thinking yourself, when you start seeing yourself who God has made you to become, look, people will start honoring you. People want to be around you because people always want to be around Jesus. They may not understand what he's talking about. They may not buy into but they want to be around him because there's something special about him. So the same thing is you. This is what I said before, you life and death. And what I'm trying to say is that this has helped me to understand who Zach is. I didn't know me. I didn't understand me. But when I started speaking and he taught me how to speak life into myself, I started to believe in myself. I started to believe in the Jesus that is in me. I started honoring the Jesus that is in me because he's put this body for me to have life, not to die. We are all going to die one day, but as long as I'm on this earth, he's giving me a choice to either live or die. And I was saying to Akim earlier, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I said that's why the Bible says be transformed. You know what transform means? To do something, when you're transformed, to change it back to the original state that you were made. To be transformed is metamorphosis. To bring a higher state of readiness. For your mind to be transformed, that's what the Bible says, be transformed like Jesus' mind is transformed. And when your mind is transformed, you won't get depression, you won't get depressed. I know what I'm talking about. When your mind is transformed, and let me not speak, let me just move forward first. I'll do that tomorrow morning. But let me just say this. When your mind is transformed, like with the mind of Jesus, there's no place in the Bible that Jesus felt sick. Anybody who can prove it to me, to let me know. He's always been transformed because he's always learning from the Father. He's always doing what the Father has asked him to do. And when your mind begins to do the things the Father has asked him to do, it always works. When your mind, because one of the things we struggle with is our minds. Because our mind go haywire. Our mind is what affects us most. But our mind knows how to speak to the heart. But when you know, when Jesus gets to your heart, it can transform your mind. That's why Jesus works on the heart first. And that's why he bypasses your mind, because our mind sometimes is so, we find it hard to follow Christ. But when our heart is captured, then our mind will respond to our hearts. So be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I said, when your mind is transformed, like Jesus' mind is, it cleanses the thing that causes all this. See, we think more than we speak? We think more than we speak. Huh? And our thinking is more negative than we speak. What happens then? That means our mind is bombarded with negative stuff all the time. But when we transform our mind and it's bombarded with the power of God, it's bombarded with what really Christ wants to be in our mind, it changes the way you think. It changes the way you see things. So when you go to somewhere, look, I have it in my church. I have it in my, there's a guy, you know, he's always looking for something bad to happen. You know what I'm saying? Wherever they go, something bad happens. Because they're looking for something wrong. Oh, I don't know. Oh, Pastor, your wall is a little bit warped, it's a little bit crooked. I said, I didn't see that. I've been there for 13 years. I've never seen that. I said, what? I said, why are you not looking at positive stuff in the house? Why are you looking at the wrong stuff? Do you know what I'm saying? I said, your mind is warped. Your mind has not been transformed with Jesus' mind. Martha, why are you too concerned about stuff? Why not sit down by his feet and gaze at him? Say, oh, Pastor, oh, did you see that? Somebody scratched the car. I said, no, I didn't see that. But I see the car is not scratched. It's not scratched. So, well, Pastor, I know what I saw. I said, I know what you saw because you're looking, you know what? When you're looking for something, you find it. But if we look for something that God has put into our heart, we will find it. But when we look for negative stuff, we'll find it too. If you come to this place and you keep looking for something bad, you'll find it. Nobody have to tell you, you'll find the bad stuff. But when you look at, when you see Tamzin, you see how beautiful she is. You see how precious she is. She's a gift to this world. She's called by God. There's only one Tamzin in the whole world. She's made for this. Her mind has been transformed. She's a lover of Jesus. And when you Jesus doesn't see the wrongs. We see the wrongs. And that's the problem. God said, I said before you, he set you in front of me. So I can give you life, I can give you death.
Please choose life.
But as you choose life, see what I'm saying? So even when I'm prophesying over people, that's why the prophetic is so strong. I'm speaking life. I'm not calling death out. Because this is the most precious gift in the whole world. Why would you want to destroy something God has made? Do you understand what I'm saying? My job, my responsibility is to cultivate. My responsibility is to protect what God has made, that nobody crushes it. That's my responsibility. So when I come in front of you, I am going to give you what God has given me so that you will live life to the fullest. And what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say to make you live life to the fullest is my responsibility. And because we are so hurting so bad, and hurting people hurt what? People. If I'm hurt, I hurt people. You know what I'm saying? When somebody has a cold and you're around a person, guess what happens? Oh. But it's different for me. Because I've made a choice. Are you hearing me? Let me say this. I've made a choice. Somebody has a cold. I drink from the same cup that they drink. I won't catch the cold. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I have made a decision that anybody who has a cold, because Jesus is my source, I am not going to catch a cold. I choose not to catch this cold. I'm not there for everything. But there are certain things I choose because I know me. I know me. And I said, you know, the Bible says, if you drink poison, it will know what? It do not kill you, it do not destroy you. That's what the Bible says. It is true. There are lots of things we eat that should have killed us a long time ago. But I'm saying, no, you know what? As long as I touch the food and I drink the water, I said, Jesus, you made this. Somebody made it, but I plead the blood of Jesus on it. I'm going to live. I choose to live. I choose what? To live. So I live by your word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of what? God. Man shall not live by bread alone. Food is bread. Huh? But man shall not live by bread alone. So what happened is, not only should we shouldn't live by the food we eat by alone. We should live by the word that comes from the mouth of God. By speaking the word. Open your Bible to John chapter 6. Can somebody open John chapter 6? See, I'm just following what he's telling me to do. He said, read John chapter 6. Where's John? Who has a Bible? Read John chapter 6, verse 63 for me. John 6, 63. I have the Jesus Bible, but no, I'm just kidding. What does that say?
The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life.
Ah! The words that I speak are what? Spirit and what? Life. Flesh profits nothing. But the words that comes off your mouth is spirit and what?
Life.
He said, I said before you, life and death, choose life. So I have decided to say, as soon as I wake up in the morning, the whole day I'm going to be choosing life. Every decision I make will lead to life. Listen, I'm trying to teach you something that I live. If I don't live it, I won't preach it. And if I don't live it, I'll say, guys, I'm not there yet. People in my church know this. I say, you know what? I'm working on this. I'm not there yet. But those that I'm there, I live it. So I choose light every single day of my life that I wake up. When I wake up, Lord, thank you for waking me up. Thank you, because without you, I can't wake up. Do you know what? It's not your alarm that wakes you up. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself at all. Alarm, there are lots of people alarm. The day they are dying, the alarm doesn't wake them up. So don't deceive yourself and think your alarm wakes you up. Guess who wakes you up? God. He's the one who wakes you up. So don't. People say, oh, I'm going to set my alarm for 7 o'clock and it's going to wake me up. I say, You don't understand God then. Lord, Holy Spirit, wake me up at 7 o'clock and watch how he's going to do. He never missed a time. He's never too late. He's never been late, and he's always on time. Lord, wake me up at 6 o'clock and watch him. He's going to wake you up at 6 o'clock. You know, I mean, some people need an alarm, but I don't need an alarm. He's my alarm. He said in John chapter 6, verse 63. What's the first one you read? John 6, 63. I know it offhand, but I want everybody to hear it.
It is the Spirit who gives life.
Aha. Thank you. It is the Spirit that gives what?
Life.
And his Spirit is where? In you. It is his Spirit. Let me explain to you what it means. It is his Spirit that gives life. That means it's not your spirit that gives life. It's not the devil's spirit that gives life. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? It's his Spirit that gives life. And his Spirit is in you, so life has to ooze out of you. Because it is his Spirit that is in you that commands you to walk in the Spirit and to walk in life. So if his Spirit is in you, why are you walking death? Why is it, you know what, I have wrinkles. Excuse me? No, when God made you, he didn't make you with wrinkles. I know what I'm talking about, but you can speak to your wrinkles and they'll disappear. Ooh. The word that I speak are spirit and what? Life. The word that comes out of your mouth has to be spirit and life. He said, it is the spirit that gives birth to what? Life. When you were born again, when you, Adam and Eve, how did they become alive? He breathed on them. And when you breathe on somebody, you give life. Every time Jesus does miracle, there's life in it. Every time Jesus speaks, there's life in it. That's why a lot of people don't understand Jesus, because he speaks in parables. You know what I'm saying? He speaks in parables. People have to search it and find it. But he said the spirit, it is the spirit that gives life. The spirit that he puts inside you is the one that gives life. And that spirit that is inside you has to, you have to develop a way of speaking life that comes in there. It has to come out with life. He's put that spirit inside. He didn't put that spirit inside you to just keep it there. He wanted to bring life out. He wants that spirit to bring life, to produce life. But a lot of us have this spirit inside, huh, that doesn't produce life. And we allow the devil to use the thing that produces life. We make it, we kill it. We speak death. Oh, I'm stupid. You need to brush your teeth with soap. When I was a little kid, that's what my parents do. You speak something bad, you brush your teeth. They brush your teeth with soap, and soap stinks. And African soap stinks. It's not like Dove or Joy. It stinks, and it smells. And you say, I won't speak deaf anymore. Because we are meant to produce life. He said, my spirit I put inside you will produce life. It is the spirit that gives birth to what? To life. You want to have life? Let the spirit that is in you, his spirit that is in you, let it breathe life. Life! I used to say, Zach, you're not going to be sad anymore. You know what? I very seldom, very, very seldom I'm sad. Very seldom. And when I'm sad, everybody can catch it. So, Pastor, are you all right? And you learn not to lie because we're good at it. Are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. You're not fine. How are you today? Fine? No, 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 you're not fine. You're lying. Call a spade a spade. Because when you tell people you're not doing well, especially people you can trust, then they can stand with you and pray for you so you can overcome. So the words of life, they can put the words of life. They can put, they say, the words I speak are spirit and are life. I mean, that John 6:63, I can speak it all night. I can go on and on and on. But as I said before, you life and what? Death. But choose life. He is saying, I mean, look at how the words are commanding, are connecting together. He said, I said before you, life and death, choose life. He said, it is spirit that gives life. Jesus, God breathed life. He said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word himself was his what? God. He said, his life brings abundance. Ah. He's put this life inside you. Why do you think God? And the reason why a lot of people think God, a lot of people, because people don't know how to make choices. We make choices for finances, we make wrong choices, the way we think. You know what? I keep saying, Lord, give me wisdom to make choices like you do, because you are in me. And because you are in me, why should I start choosing unless I'm not relying on coming back to the source? Remember I said today, John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep will hear my voice and they what? They follow me. Jesus Christ, who is God himself, said, I can do nothing on my what? On my own. I only rely on what? My Father. That means Jesus doesn't rely on his own brain. He relies on the Father's brain. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. Why do we do things the Father is not doing? Why do we do things that we don't like to do because the enemy has, oh, I can go on and I can go on and because when we start doing what he's asked us to do, we cannot fail. Wow. You mean you can live this life and have life abundantly? Wait a minute. You know what? Those words are not in the Bible to just tickle your ears. You are meant to live it. You are meant to what? Live it. Live life abundantly. See, he said, I've given you life. I've come to give you life, and I've come to give you abundantly. It's the Spirit that gives life. Life and death is in the power of the life and death. I said before you, life and death, and I ask you to choose life. And I'm saying from today onwards, you will choose life. You wake up in the morning, you choose life. You come into church, I'm coming to church tomorrow morning, I'm going to choose life. Everybody I speak to, I'm giving them life. Everybody who speaks to me, I only receive life. When they speak death to me, I choose to not to receive it. I chose not to receive, because this is a choice. And you, North America, or you Europe, you guys taught us this. In Africa, we have no choices. There's dictatorship there. You know what I'm saying? They tell you to do, if you don't do, they kill you. Here, you have choices. And God has set before you choices. But you have to choose. He won't choose, unfortunately, he won't choose for you. Because he's giving you an answer. You know what the answer is? Life. Said, I said before you, life and death. And you should choose what? Life. He said, it's the Spirit that gives life. And his Spirit is in us that produces life every day. So can you imagine this? And I'm going to say it a second time. I'll say it three times. Every day you wake up from today. From tomorrow morning you go to bed and you wake up. And every choices you make, you're asking God to help you to choose life. Everything you think, life. Everything you say, life. Everything around you, life. Everything you do, you're producing life. Guess what is going to happen? Your life is going to be transformed forever. Forever and ever and ever. I used to have, when I was really a little kid, I used to have a problem with stomach ache, and they don't go away. I did everything. Then when I became a born-again Christian, before I became a born-again Christian, I went to this Christian meeting, and I was about to leave, and a girl was healing my hands. And I remember, I said, Lord, I didn't know who that person is. I know Jesus, who healed her, said, I don't care who you are, Jesus. I have a problem. The problem is I have a stomach pain that doesn't go away. If you are really Jesus, you can heal that girl who has problem with her feet and legs. She's paralyzed. But mine is a little teeny bitty stomach pain. If you can do it for her, you can do it for me. And from that day, I had my stomach grind. And from that day, I never had any stomach pain till today. I don't have stomach pains. You know what? Because God heals. And when he heals, on that day, I even didn't know what I was saying, but I chose life. I believed him. I believed what he said. And I chose life. You can choose life. And when you choose life, you know what people say? Oh, you know what people say? I have a headache. They say, you have what? You own it. When someone says, I have stomach pain, who owns it? Huh? Who owns it? You own it. You say, I have it, then you keep it. But, so I say to myself, reality is, I'm having a problem. But the fact is, God is the final say. It's not a doctor. So I have a headache. And I say, you know, this is what I say to myself. You know what? The there's something going on in my head. And I know my father is the one who can take care of it, and he's already taking care of it. So I don't care whether it's headache or no headache. That's what the doctor said. But I don't believe what the doctor said. I only believe what God said. I don't believe the doctor's report, because God can reverse the doctor's report. Just like years ago, I was told, the doctor came to me. I went to this doctor and said, well, you are diabetic. And I said, I've never heard of that word before. I said, diabetic, what does that mean? He said, well, you eat too much sugar. I said, what does that mean? In Africa, we chew sugar. In Africa, you know, we have sugar cubes. I used to be a bad boy. And my mom and dad would buy boxes of sugar cubes. 3 days, it's all gone. And my parents thought there was a mouse in the house. And to keep it, they would go and buy it, and I drink water. I put the sugar in the water. And when you put sugar in the water, you can't tell, eh? You can't tell the sugar in it. And I stirred it up. They keep seeing me, I'm drinking a lot of water. And they don't understand why I drink water, because I put sugar in it. And I keep drinking over and over and over and over. So one day my parents keep thinking, why is Zach drinking water? I mean, the water is going down and the sugar is going down. How can both of them be going down? So one day, I don't know what happened. They went somewhere and I put a lot of sugar in the water and I was drinking it and I didn't. And till now, I still do it. When I'm drinking water, I don't leave my water. I finish the water. It's a strategy. But this particular day, I didn't finish the water in the cup. So my mom came and said, oh, what is this? And how come today you didn't finish your water? And I quickly wanted to grab and say, whoa, don't do that. And she put a finger in it. What did you put in it? Now we know where the sugar is going. So I got myself into trouble. And anyway, I was punished for it. So when I came to Canada, they said, well, you're diabetic. And I said, what's that? I even don't know what diabetes is. And I said, well, I don't believe that. And I said, well, you have to eat vegetables. You have to take these pills every day. And now I take the pills, I get even sicker. Anytime I take Manformin, I get sick. So I went to the Lord and I complained to the Lord. I complained to him. I said, Lord, we have a problem. He said, what's the problem? I said, who owns this body? He said, I do. Then fix that body. He said, it's already fixed. I said, well, this is what the doctor said. And when I check my blood sugar is 21, 22. And I said, well, that's what they said. What do you think? I said, well, my sugar level is between 4 and 7. He said, oh, thank you, son. Here's what my reason. So I went to the Lord and complained to him. And he said, okay, I want you to eat something called tiger nuts. Have you ever heard of tiger nuts? Have you ever heard of tiger nuts? Yes. He said, eat tiger nuts. He said, tiger nuts? What is that? Am I going to get a tiger has a nut or something? You know what I'm saying? I don't know why they gave you tiger nuts. And I'm saying, tiger nut. Tiger nut. And I like coconut, okay? Tiger nut tastes like coconut. And it's hard to chew, but I chew them. Crack, crack. Crack, crack. And when I chewed them for 6 months, when they ask you to check your sugar level and you record them, and that machine tells you, the machine what is always accurate. You can't forge it. I try to manipulate the numbers, it doesn't work. So I gave up. So I keep doing it, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, So I did a blood test, and I went, I hate needles too. Oh. When I have needles, I could pass out, you know? So I went to do a blood test, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said to me, you know, something is not adding up. And I said, why? He said, well, when somebody gets this, it doesn't get reversed. He went back to the original test and looked at it. Came back the new one. He said, Zach, something is not adding up. Maybe we didn't do the test right. So he said, can we do it again? And I didn't like needles. Oh, my goodness. It took me another 6 months to go and do the needle. He gave me to do the needle the next day so that I can. But it took me 6 months. I couldn't get the courage to go to the doctor, to the blood lab, to poke your nail and to poke your hand so that I can. I mean, God has a good sense of humor. You know, I mean, so my doctor, you see, I'm one of the people that my doctor calls. Doctors don't call you unless something bad news happens. My doctor chases me to come to see him. And my wife goes to see my doctor, our doctor all the time. The doctor doesn't call her. Said, is that priest home? And said, and we can't lie. Yes, he's home, but he doesn't want to answer the phone. That's not a good person to answer the phone, you know? Yes, he's here, but he can't answer. He doesn't want to answer the phone. So my doctor decided to, you know, when they do this star 16, I don't know whether you guys have it here. You can change, you can type it and to give you a different, so you don't know who's calling. So he said, no name, no ID. And do I pick it up? Do I not pick it up? Do I pick it up? Okay, maybe, you know what? The person maybe is my doctor. He's been calling with his number, I don't pick it up. And left messages. So he said, Zach, have you gone to, he said, Prince, have you gone to see have you gone to do the blood test? We haven't got the results yet. I said, oh, I forgot. He said, go. So, so he told the people who are doing the blood to come and check me at home. They said, you know what? If you don't go to the horse will come to you. Ouch. So they came and did the blood. I almost, you know what I mean. They poke it 7 times before they can get the nail. They can get it. And he did the blood, and they checked the listen. It's still normal. He still doesn't understand. He says, Zach, you need to do a third one. Says, oh, God, please get this doctor off my back. This is not good. Now they want to do the right-hand side. And I'm not going to, I was willing to give it. And it took another year before I did another test. And he kept chasing me. Almost every 3 months, he would call me and have I gone to do the. Finally, I did the last one and became normal. He said, I haven't seen a diabetic being reversed, except you. You know why? God gave me tiger nut. So I've been eating tiger nut 3 times a day. I eat 15 to 20 tiger nuts a day. Tiger nut, I don't know where it's from, maybe it's from Africa, but it helps your immune system. It helps with the blood. It tunes the blood to flow easily. It doesn't make you have blood clot. And I still eat tiger nut. I put tiger nut on yogurt. So when I travel, I don't take it with me because I don't know whether it can stop you and say, what's that? And you never know these people. Anyway. But I have decided to choose life in everything I do. Even tonight, I'm choosing life in my message. I'm choosing what? Life. When I speak life. The words that I speak are spirit, and I want life. So when I come in front of Tamzima, when I come in front of this sister and I'm prophesying, the word that comes to my mind is going to bring life. It's going to be what? It's a spirit that produces life. And my third imagination. Can you imagine every single day you wake up? It's a beautiful day. Today I will live or not die. I'll declare the glory of God. Today I am going to be profitable. Today I am going to be successful. Today I'm going to be blessed. Today people are going to give me money. Today people are going to change my life. Today I'm expecting to change somebody's life. Today I'm going to give somebody life. Today I'm speaking over my body. I'm speaking and I'm watching. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, can you watch over my body to perform the good things in my life? Can you watch over me? Today I'm not going to be sick. Today I'm going to be fruitful and multiply. And as I begin to speak this every single day, something begins to change in me. I even didn't notice that something was changing in me. People started telling me, wow, there's something about you that we like. We don't know, but there's something about you. And I keep getting them over and over and over and over. And because I'm choosing life, some of the words that comes, they come out before I know what I'm going to say. They come out completely. They say, oh, I just said that. And I say, oh, did I just say that? But I've learned to trust him that the words come out of my mouth will be what? Life. When you start speaking negative, when you start thinking negative, then you begin to what? Choose death. You begin to speak death to yourself. You begin to struggle with self-esteem. I was talking to somebody today, but I'm trying to change I'm going to give them speech diet. You know what speed diet is? When you diet, you lose weight. Isn't that what they said? So, when you diet with your speech, you flush out the bad ones. Because when you diet, you are flushing certain things that you really don't need. Isn't that true? So when you do speech diet, you're changing your own speech and making it. You're dieting. You're doing diet on your speech so that you can be clean. You can be set free. I'm challenging you today that you can do this, because if I can do it, you can do it. Because I am not. We are all the same, you know. I'm not much different from you. The same God that is in you is the same God that is in me. Do you know that? The same spirit that is in you is in me. There's no different spirit in you. And people say, my son said, Dad, do you have small Holy Spirit? I say, no. You mean it's a big Holy Spirit that comes in and say, yep. Holy Spirit has no size. He has no size. The same Holy Spirit that comes in you is the same Holy Spirit that comes in me. So Dad, so does it mean I can do miracles? Yes. A miracle has no, it has no age in miracles. It has no size in miracle. But when you start speaking life, to yourself, and I say this is one of my greatest strengths. This is one of my greatest strengths, and I'm going to share you. I pray over people so many, I can count hundreds and thousands of people I've prayed for. But I hear from God, from myself, more than I pray for people. Wow, did you hear that? I pray for a lot of people, but I hear from myself more than I pray for people. Wow. I hear from myself accurate. More than I pray for people that are accurate. You hear? You see what I'm trying to tell you? Because my sheep will hear my voice and they'll follow me. I do hear from him clearly. So I choose life every day. I choose to walk life. I choose to be life. I choose to be life for the roof. I choose life to be Tamzin, to be for Tamzin. I choose life to be for you. I choose life. Everything I do, I choose life. Even the decision that I want to make, and it seems sometimes it doesn't make sense to man. I promise to choose life. And I choose life, it always works out well. It always works out well. There's one time, I'll just say this and I'll end it. It's almost, it was 9:30. Wanted to buy a house. Wanted to buy our house where we live now. We saw the house is $387,000. So we found a real estate agent. And my wife said, we can't afford it. And I said, okay. So I said to the real estate agent, can we go look at the house? My wife said, we cannot afford it. So, okay. So we can look at the housing. And you know, real estate agent, they talk to each other, don't they? They talk to each other to decide which is the best price, right? So the real estate agent, the people's real estate agent, they talk to our real estate agent and say, well, somebody offered $380,000 and they turned it down. And the Lord told me, Zach, I want you to offer $245,000. Wow. Does it make sense? And that woman said, a real estate agent, he said, don't waste my time. They offered $380,000 for $387,000, and they turned $380,000 off. And the Lord said, Zach, I want you to offer $245,000. I said, Lord, are you serious? He said, yes, I am serious. I said, Lord, are you really, really serious? You have to convince my wife. So my wife said, so we said, well, we're going to look at the house one more time. So we went to look at, and she fell in love with the house. She said, okay. So I said to the realist, we filled out the paper, and the realist said, and said, well, we should offer $385,000. And I said to the realist, no, 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 no. God told me we should offer $245,000. My wife said, you want to sabotage because you don't want us to have the house. So, and the real estate agent said, you know, they work for you, but sometimes they think they are boss. Because it's my money. I can tell if all he has to do is to present the thing. If they don't need the tending down, that's okay. So we offered $245,000. And the Lord says, Zach, can you write a note? Tell them what you want to do with your house. Oh, that's strange. So we wrote a letter. My wife is an English woman. She wrote a letter that we're going to have home groups in our home. We're going to have international people in our home. And we explain all these things. Jesus is going to be there, and people, our guest speakers will come and eat there. Some of them will come and sleep in our home. We wrote all these things in the letter. And then we submitted with the what? With our offer. 10 minutes! And before we submit the letter, they said, well, if you get this house, you make a believer out of me. I said, Lord, this is good. This is good. And our friends are saying, are you out of your mind? $387,000. Let me tell you the difference. So you understand how God can do. 387 minus 245. 387 minus 245. $142,000 off. That's crazy. That's crazy. And the real estate said, well, if you get this house, you make a believer out of me. So within 10 minutes, she called on the phone. Whoa! We've got the house! We've got the house! I said, what do you do? Well, it's $250,000. The man said, the woman and the man, they said, well, they're going to use it for God, so we are going to give it to them, $250,000. Can you come and resign a paper? I said, whoa, whoa, real estate agent. No. We haven't got there. God told me to split the 5,000. Say, are you kidding me? You still want to take 2,500 out of that? I said, yep, I'm just telling what God told me to do. So she put 247,500. And within 3 minutes, they called her back and said, yeah, it's accepted. How did I do it? I did nothing. You know how what happened? It's God. Because his choices are your choices. And when you hear him and becomes his choice, then it has to come to pass. Guess what happened? I led the woman to the Lord. My real estate agent. I led her to Jesus. I led her to Jesus. Because she said, you make believer out of me. And God has made her to become a believer. The second thing, we wanted to buy our cottage. People say, Pastor, let me ask you this question. You have a house, it's almost paid for. Now you bought a cottage. What kind of work do you do in order to get all this stuff? I said, I don't know. But, you know, pastors can't even make a living, let alone buy a house. I said, when you are fired as a pastor, I've been fired as a pastor. God fired me. He said, ah, he's the pastor. I'm not. So the problem is, people want to become pastor. I am not the pastor of Jubilee. I'm fired. He fired me. And I don't work for God. Huh? I partner with him. He's my partner. I don't work for him. He's a friend. Look, when you work for a friend, you kill each other. I'm telling you, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. It didn't come out right. I was trying to say something, but never mind. It'll come back again. See, God is my master. God is my power. God is my strength. God is my friend. And so we wanted to buy a cottage. And the cottage was 230,000 and 247,000 something. And the Lord told us to offer 1,000. And we came back and forth. So we ended up at 203,000. So we put an offer with the same real estate. We put an offer. So this time she didn't argue with me. She knows now. She didn't argue with me. She said, whatever God tells you to do, we'll do it. Because I know he answers prayer. So we put 203,000. And when we put the 303,000, they didn't accept the offer. They turned it down. And I wasn't budging. My wife loves the call. She said, look, 7,000 is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Look, we can make the money. When we sell the house, we can make the call. We can make the money quickly. Anyway, so we turned it down. And this was January, which was January, February. They called us up and said, well, they bring it from 247,000, they brought it to 240,000. I said, no, 203,000. They went back again in March, they came back, 235,000. I said, no, 203,000. They came back in April, and I said, okay, you know what? Then the Lord said to me, okay, Zach, I want you to check the septic tank. And he said, something is wrong with the septic tank. You can make money from this. And I said, septic tank? Does it have a septic tank? He said, yes. So in April, we said, okay, we will buy the house only the condition if the septic tank is working. So in April, they dug the septic tank. The septic tank is so bad. It's no good anymore. So we went to price a price of a septic tank of 10 times bigger than what they had before, and it was 16, 17,000. So I said, well, you pay half, we pay half. So that's what we end up at, 210,000. And the house belonged to us. Listen, when you hear from God, you say, my sheep will hear my voice, and it's true. And the moment we bought the house, we spent another about 70 to 80,000 to fix all the stuff, and then put a new bathroom in there. YouTube helps you a lot. YouTube helps you to fix stuff. If you're not a fixer, YouTube. You tell YouTube, this is what I'm looking for. I say, YouTube, I want to fix a bathroom. No, it tells you how to fix it, what size to buy, and all the materials and everything. So YouTube has blessed the one who made YouTube. You know? And now that we fix it, 2 months ago, we're in the cottage, and a real estate agent came. He said, well, we want to buy, I know someone who wants to buy your cottage. And I said, well, make us an offer. My wife said, are you kidding me? You want to sell it? I said, well, we got to find out how much they want to pay for it first. He said, make me an offer. $600,000. He said, I'll give you cash. And my wife said, If you give us $1 million, we don't want it. And even that make the person want the house more. And the man came again and said, $700,000. My wife said, absolutely not. I said, $700,000. We could buy 3 of that. I said, honey, I love that place. I am not selling. I said, honey, look, there are lots of good lands we could buy and build on it. It's going to be, look, you design your own style. He said, no, I am not selling it. The guy came again, $750,000. I said, Lord, can you talk to her? He said, I've been trying to tell her, she's not listening. So why should you try to convince her? It's her home, she loves it. $750,000, that's a lot of money. But she doesn't want to sell it. I tried. She says, honey, the only way I'm going to be convinced to buy it is if you can take the same picture and do it exactly the way it is now. I mean, how can you do that? Do you see what I'm saying? How can you design the same thing exactly with the woods and everything? Where are you going to get that? He says, Zach, he said, honey, you want me to sell it? I'll sell it. But you have to make me something like that. Because I'm designed to sleep in this house. He said, honey, this cottage has given me life. And I want life. And that cottage has actually given us life. Anytime we're stressed, we move out, we just drive 20 minutes and go and lie down there and by the lake. It gets refreshed again. Nobody's talking to you, turn off the phone and everything. God just rejuvenates you. Now I understand why she said it, but that's still, $750,000 is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Anyway, why am I saying all this? Because when you choose life, because he says you choose life, when you choose life, it works for you. It does. I know I didn't ask Raouf the permission to do it, but I'm going to share. I won't tell you what has happened, but I'm going to share. Years ago, I felt I didn't. We've all been in the same church. We've never met each other. Have we? We all hear of each other from friends, but we actually don't. We haven't met. We've all been to TACF. I've been in TACF for years. But I've heard of him, but I don't know him. And anyway, so he started coming to our church, and I'm not sure. Something happened. I don't know what happened between them leaving their church and coming, because they live in Allison. And we want to start a church in Allison on Wednesday night. Who starts a church on Wednesday night? And who started church on Monday nights? You see what I'm saying? If God tells you to do something, it doesn't make sense. When I say we're going to start church on Monday, first of all, we're going to start a church on Sunday nights. Say, well, Sunday nights is for people who are hungry for God. So nobody's going to show up. They were wrong. When God tells you to do something, you do it. The result is not your result, it's His result. So we started church on Sunday night, Monday night, Wednesday night. This is the first time we started church on Sunday night. We're going to start another church on Friday night. God is good. So they started coming to our church. And the Lord told me they're going to buy a house in cash. And I'm saying, you know, it's when I got it out of my mouth. Like, oops. Cash. Oops. And later I came to find out he's a bus driver. I said, oops! But God has already prepared himself. God knows what he's talking about. Months and months and years later, one Sunday morning, I finished speaking and I was praying for people. He came forward and I prayed and said, God is going to give you a house. The house is paid for. Anyway, when the house comes and is paid for, you know. He can tell you. I won't tell you the rest of the story. He can tell you. But I know they're going to get a house paid for in full. They're not going to get a mortgage. You know what I know? Because he told me, and I know him. He told me, and I know him. And I met my wife, and the Lord told me, that's my wife, but I couldn't have the guts to tell her she's my wife. Because she's from Shetland Islands, she's from Scotland, and the first time I went to Scotland, I'm the only black guy in Shetland Islands. Can you imagine how that is, eh? Can you imagine? Scottish, wonderful man, they've given their life to Jesus now. Oh, yeah, both of them, mom and dad, have given their life to you. Only one daughter hasn't given her life to you. She's coming. And she's the one in Edinburgh, in Glasgow. Look. And she told me, God told me, you have to ask permission from his dad, from her dad, before you can marry her. Oh, my goodness. My first date was in Glasgow. I flew from Canada. And she flew from Shetland Island to Glasgow. We met, our first date was in Glasgow. We had a date and we liked each other. You know, I was chasing her, she didn't like me. It wasn't good. I thought, you know, people always like me, but she said, nope. You have to chase me. If you don't chase me, I don't have anything to do with you. Ouch. That's stubborn. See, God told me that you are the one to chase me. Oh, my goodness. I paid a lot of money to fly from Canada to Glasgow for a date. That's a lot of expensive on date. And because we're both single, we cannot sleep in the same hotel. And my Canadian dollars in those days, $1 is $2.50 for 1 watt.